One of the things I just want to just briefly, as we look at Luke today, that I want us to kind of consider that really we learned a little bit about the plight of the man that was full of leprosy, which we're going to talk about in a moment, because during COVID, we got to experience what it means to be like pushed aside, to be isolated. One of the things that we never thought we would have to do back in 2019 is qualify every time we cough. Right? No, it's just allergies, I promise. You know, I just got a little cold, I promise. And now you have to qualify even that. And one thing, this school did some research, and it says, according to a recent scientific brief, this is as of June of 2022, the World Health Organization, in the first year of COVID-19, here's what they understood, that global prevalence of anxiety and depression increased by at least 25%. Multiple factors, including social isolation, loneliness, grief, financial worries, all converged during the pandemic, causing an unprecedented stress and mental health challenges throughout the world. In fact, youth mental health issues were already increasing long before the pandemic, but COVID-19 magnified and perpetuated these challenges. So in other words, an aspect of the development, the emotional and social development of our students was interrupted. That happened. And for many of us in this room, the social isolation was damaging. For me, even in ministry, which, believe it or not, I love people, and so for those months where we weren't able to meet, it really affected me. Like there were aspects where I was grasping at what God had called me to do for a bit, to the point where now I'm looking at another way to get smarter, to research and be better, because I realize I'm just a one-trick pony. And so I'm trying to get to where I could be more effective to serve people because I understood my gap through that. And so here's what we see, and what we're going to do today, we're going to do a little participation. This is where you lock in because you've heard me say this over the past few weeks. And if you're new, then just say watermelon the whole time under your breath. But here's what we've been looking about Luke. Here's the statement that Luke gives us about the whole, it's Jesus came. We're going to hit this up on the screen. Okay, here we go. We didn't rehearse this, I promise. Okay. Check this out. So Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to say that with me, okay? Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. Here's what we didn't need from COVID-19. We didn't need COVID-19 to let us know that we're surrounded by lost and broken people. We already knew that. But you better believe that COVID-19, like, put it on full display. It put it on full display in our governments around the world. It put it on full display in our lives. It put it on full display in our neighborhoods, the way we treat one another. You found out who was germophobes and who wasn't. You found out a lot. Just rub it up, blow on it, and it'll be fine. Like so many people, like who in here before COVID-19 was so worried about touching a door handle? Okay? Who now is super, yeah, Adam. Who now is worried about it? Everybody, right? And so it's just a weird thing where we're really, I almost feel like, you know how Halloween, I really believe, is brought about by dentists to really drum up business? I almost believe that the hand sanitizer people really came up with COVID-19. Anyways, that's just a theory I got, okay? Hey, but here's what we know is that Jesus came to save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. And so with that in mind, I want us to look at some scripture together in Luke chapter 5. Again, we're kind of looking at some texts that help us see these things. And this is a text that many of us know. But if you would, look with me in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12. Again, you can look at your Bibles or on the screen. And I always want to make you aware that we have Bibles in the back for free. If you want to grab one when you leave today, it would be our joy that you would take that. It says, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him, about Jesus, went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, Jesus, to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is an incredible story, and if you've studied the Bible, you've seen this before, but some of you, this may be your first time hearing about Jesus encountering a leper. So just a few things that we see here that I want you to pay attention to in the text. In verse 12, it says, full of leprosy. That means that this wasn't something that happened over the weekend before. This was something that he's been walking with for years of his life, okay? And a few things about leprosy. It was the most terrible and greatly feared disease in Jesus' day. It was disfiguring and sometimes even fatal. In the Bible, here's the neat thing I want you to pay attention to. Leprosy is a picture or an allegory of sin. But really, we see here this picture that this man really had it. So sin was definitely connected in his life, but he had this physical ailment. And the leper was considered utterly unclean, both physically and spiritually. He could not approach near any person, including his family members. The leper was judged as dead, the living dead, and had to wear a black garment to be quickly recognized from among the dead. They would have to wear like bells that people would on their garments so that people knew that they were coming near. There would be people that would walk on the other side of the road and they would pronounce the uncleanness of that person. The leper was banished as an outcast, ostracized from society, considered without hope of even going to heaven. Right, they were considered cursed. And in the Bible, one of the pictures, when we see someone's cursed, it means that they are cut off from God and from others. Such a person could not live within the walls of any city. And so pay attention to the fact that he was in the city where Jesus was. That's an interesting detail. He overcame that. The leper was thought to be polluted, incurable by any human means whatsoever. Imagine the anguish and heartbreak of the lepers being completely cut off from family and friends in society. Imagine the emotional and mental pain. His body was full of sores. His flesh was eaten away. Imagine his loneliness, his alienation. Imagine his emptiness, his hopelessness, his helplessness. Imagine just for a second his desperation. And so we have this scene where it says Jesus was coming into the city. And as Jesus is walking, all of a sudden a voice came from an uncommon place. And it was a leper. And he says, Lord, will you have mercy on me? He didn't have to give the details of his isolation. He didn't have to give the details of his helplessness. Jesus knew. And as he's walking by, Jesus stops. And with his request, he says, you can make me clean. Imagine the faith just in that statement. And what is crazy is that this leper saw Jesus and he forgot all else. He forgot about all the people surrounding Jesus. He forgot the shame of his condition. He forgot the embarrassment associated with him. And he forgot that the law forbade him to come near anyone. He was determined that nothing and no one was going to stop him from receiving Jesus' help, not even the fear and threats of people who would fear catching this disease. He was desperate. And instead of looking at this man like we see the people with the cardboard signs and bouncing our eyes away from him, we see that Jesus stopped everything. He stopped the traffic of his schedule, the traffic of the agendas of others having for him. He stopped it all. And instead of just giving him, you know, a no-look pass of go and be clean, Jesus stopped and gave him something that he hadn't experienced for years. Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him. And we may not think that that's a big deal. But Jesus touched him. Jesus knew he was dirty and defiled, both within and without. Jesus knew he needed physical, social, and spiritual healing. And we see later in the book of Luke, in the same chapter, that Jesus answered other people, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do, right? Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Scripture even says in Psalm 34, 18, that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I can just go out on a limb here and say that this man's spirit had been crushed. Imagine all the dreams and hopes that this man probably had before getting leprosy. Imagine the moments that were missed with playing with his kids, celebrating the anniversary with his wife, the good meals that he probably dreamt about. Imagine all these things that he would no longer get to experience until Jesus came. And what I love that Jesus did is with that request, which was one of faith, one of humility from the leper, Jesus said, I will make you clean. And the Savior reached out his hand and touched the leper. Now here's what's cool. I want you to pay attention to this. The man was an untouchable. And yet, Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. No other person would ever dare go near him, and yet Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. The man had never had leprosy for years, so many people just ignored him and hadn't been touched this whole time, so many years, that he was now full of leprosy at a very advanced stage, and yet Jesus touched him. During all those years, no one would even dare to help him. And yet, Jesus touched him. He had not been touched by a human hand for so many years, he probably could not remember the comfort of a tender touch. And yet, Jesus touched him. What is most important here is how Jesus saw this man. He looked past the man's desperation, the obvious need, the social norms. He looked past all those things that everybody else would see as an excuse to avoid and ignore. And he saw this man who was created in his image, in God's image. He didn't care about who the man had voted for. He didn't ask or worry what others would say. He didn't ask what background he had, where he went to college. He didn't ask how much was in his bank account, what he could offer him. He said, I will be clean. And he touched him. This is a beautiful picture of the gospel. And what I love here is that Jesus doesn't just say, have a good day. Notice what Jesus does next in verse 14. And he charged him after he had been made clean, after he experienced something that no one else would. But what's great is in Leviticus 13 and 14, they had a hopeful reality that someday God would heal someone of this dreadful disease of leprosy. So they made provision in Leviticus in the law of what to do just in case this ever happened. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for proof to them. See, here's the thing. Leprosy, in the unlikely event a leper was ever cured, there was a detailed list of laws and rituals that the person had to go through. They would make an offering. And in fact, these rituals gave the priest time to confirm the cure and lead the leper to make a thanksgiving offering to God. What I love here is that Jesus instructed the man to rush to obey what God's law required of cured lepers. Like he still said, go and do this work. The man first needed to worship and offer thanks to God and learn to obey God's word before doing anything else. Now, what I love is he gave them this thing. How well do you think he did at keeping the other part where Jesus said, don't tell anybody? What obviously verse 15 lets us know that a lot of people found out about this, to the point where Jesus would have moments where he would have to pull away and have time of just quiet solitude before his Father. Again, I want to remind you that Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. Many of us have experienced some form of the fallout of leprosy, which we call sin. And many of you in this room know very well the effects that sin has in your life. Sometimes what we do is we try to suppress those effects, not really address them, do what we can to act like they're not even there, but we know they're there. And sometimes what happens as a result of sin, that even though you're surrounded by so many people, you feel lonely because of sin. Because of sin, you question everyone's motives and assume the worst in other people, so you feel like this disconnect and alienation because of your own sin. Even though you have done all you can to fill the void in your life because of sin, what you do is you use achievement to fill the void, and you realize you can never achieve enough. Sometimes what you do is you take substances and you think, if these substances could somehow like make this numb to me, that this reality of sin and brokenness exists in my life, if they could just like push it down long enough, then I can move on. And if that's the case, my question is, how's that going for you? I'd venture to say not well. And some of you have developed habits. And you think, okay. If I could just work out enough, if I could just eat good enough, if I could just make enough money, if I could just succeed enough, then I don't have to face it. But you still feel emptiness. Nothing in your life seems to go your way. So you feel hopeless. No matter how many people in your life have stepped in with great intentions, you still feel helpless. Because that's what sin does. It cuts you off. It's the picture of the curse of sin in your life. And so you may not physically be a leper, but let's just be honest, spiritually you are. And you're cut off from the things of God. Which reminds us that Jesus came to seek and save lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. Lost means those who don't know the saving power of what Christ came to do for you. Broken could be any variety of crazy, just things that you have in your life where you have so suppressed, where you have cut off people that meant well to you, where you have made yourself the victim when you were probably the culprit. There's so many things that sin has done. And Jesus came to seek and save people like you and call you his own. What I love about this story and what it tells us about Jesus is when this leper saw Jesus, he forgot all else. He forgot the people surrounding Jesus. He forgot the shame that's associated with what was going on in his life. He didn't even care about the embarrassment. Can you just imagine, like, hey, you got to shoot your shots? And he did. He didn't know if Jesus was going to, but by faith, he just went after it. He didn't know if one of his disciples, one of these roughnecks, was going to tackle him. He didn't know. He just went. So I ask you, with the sin that's in your life, with the reality of the brokenness that you're experiencing, are you willing to forget all the people surrounding you in this moment and what they think of you and say, I'm going to turn to Jesus? No matter what they say, no matter what they think, I'm going to turn to Jesus. Are you willing to forget the shame of your condition of sin and understand that your only help, your only hope is to turn to Jesus? Are you willing to forget the embarrassment that you may experience and turn to Jesus? Let me be honest. I know what I'm asking you is not easy. I know. Because what we've done is we've kind of elevated the opinions and thoughts of other people so much so that those things seem to be more important than our need. Because our need is so big, but it feels like we've made what other people think about us even bigger. But I promise you, when you're standing face to face with a holy God one day, the opinions of others will never matter. Only your need. And what I'm inviting you to as a brother and as a friend who gets to be a pastor is to let your need win today. Let your need be the thing that drives you to turn to Jesus and to trust him. To know that he will hear you, that he will be part of your life, will change and transform you. Again, this isn't transaction, this is transformation. So what I want to do is I want to pray for you. Our elders are going to actually be up here in, you know, I would ask that some of you elders come on this side and some of you on this side and just be willing to receive people as they need prayer. And here's what I want you to know too. If you don't want to come as we sing, that's fine. But after the service is over, they're going to stay here. And if you would just grab them then, if it's embarrassing for you to walk, that's okay. Come after the service and just meet them and know that they would love the opportunity to pray with you. Okay? So elders, if you would make your way forward, I want to pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for your kindness. Lord God, I thank you for this picture of uncommon grace, this gospel proclamation that took place with someone who was humble enough, brave enough to admit their need. To move past excuses, to move past shame, and say they need you. Lord God, how amazing. You touched him. You met him right where he was, and you touched him. So, Father, I pray that your spirit would so move with our brothers and sisters in this room that you would eliminate any excuses, eliminate any embarrassment, any shame, and just that they would see their need. And Lord God, I praise you that you have helped me see mine. And I just pray that you would be with this moment. And even as we sing, may it be a declaration of our heart, Lord God, all the time, that we need you. Father, we thank you for this. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.